whoop. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Jim and Michael? Can you feel it?
Yeah, it is. And, We know the Freedom Fiend site's down, but that's okay because you all have it on your hard drives anyway in the form of torrents that are covered by a BIPCOT no government license. For more, go to BIPCOT.org. A BIPCOT no government license enables everyone to use stuff except for governments. It's true.
Yeah, I just thought about something, it just dawned on me as I was reading it. Warming your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees
would
Fahrenheit.
Kill you.
Usually the internal cooking temperature of meat is like between 140 and 180, depending upon what type of meat it is.
It would just turn your brain into it would basically bake your brain or burn your brain. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and that's like cooking a filet mignon, completely well done and then some.
Yeah, it's basically burning it to a crisp, and we want to burn your brain to a crisp. It'll protect against the statism.
Roasty toasty.
What is statism? It's worship of the state, and why is it bad? And why is there a lot of it this week, guys?
Oh, because of the whole terrorist attack thing. Everyone's just like, oh, we need to be saved. The government's the only people that can protect us. But they're the one actually, I think, instigating most of the problems.
I'm not afraid of ISIS. Yeah. ISIS are pussies, man.
Yeah.
There you go.
But, Michael, aren't you going to be a good American and participate in the Freedom Buyback Program? You know, where you trade 10 freedoms for one security? Unfortunately, like most gun buyback programs, you won't have people outside that are willing to like scoop it up and give you more than you would have got from the government. government will give you one security. Somebody out in the parking lot will give you two securities.
Yeah, I like it when people do that at gun so-called buybacks. But like gun buybacks, the government never owned the guns. They can't buy them back. And they're using stolen money to do it. I want to talk about governments using stolen money tonight and stealing. We're going to talk about Uber, but we'll get to that. I want to talk about this thing that came out, this statistic today that's apparently based on actual government statistics that said that the government now steals more than all the burglaries in the country combined. And we're not even talking about the fact that taxation is theft because you didn't agree to it. It's just, slavery tokens based on where you were born. But do you have this article up, anybody?
No.
I do. American cops now steal more. I'll read it till Lou gets awake here, because you did take a cat nap. And, the Freedom Fiend site being down is not a bad thing. It's Derek is blowing the cat hairs out of the server, and it takes, like, overnight to do it. So, this server is this big. It's a bunch of computers connected with what looks like Tinker Toys, but they're like titanium Tinker Toys that can't be altered or they're the jet grade aluminum and titanium Tinker Toys. And then he just hooks up a shop vac to it, just blows hair through it to blow all the cat hair out of it, because we power the server by hundreds of dozens of cats running on treadmills. And that sounds cruel, but the cats love to run on treadmills. And some of them are wildcats, which are, if you don't know what a wildcat is, a lot of sports teams are named the wildcats. They are cats that live in the wild. They're a little bigger than house cats, and they could kill you. I mean, they are just pound for pound some of the strongest things ever, and they love to run these treadmills because we put these little fake mice in front, and they get real treats. Like every hour they run, they get a treat made of ground up mice. So that's how the Freedom Fiend site works. Do you have the?
I'm not buying it because we all know that cat hair can't melt titanium servers.
It's true.
Science fact.
All right. Anybody got this article up and want to read it? This is from FPRNradio.com. Isn't that Lou's new podcast? Aren't you like leaving the Fiends to be a regular guest on this show?
There's a couple of shows that I've appeared on over there, but yeah. I didn't know that I was leaving. Are you trying to tell me something?
No, man. I love you. I'm trying to tell you I'm jealous, man, because I'm not giving you enough time. Actually, you can have as much time as you want on The Fiends, but I like that you go on these new and up-and-coming shows and try to school them what's what. So, but these guys have it together. So Matt Agarist, do you know him? Wrote this
from the Free
Thought Project?
Yeah. For decades now, federal government and their cohorts in law enforcement have been carrying out theft of the citizenry on a massive scale. We're not talking about taxes, but an insidious power known as civil asset forfeiture. The 1980s era laws were designed to drain resources from powerful criminal organizations, but CAF has become a tool for law enforcement agencies across the U.S. to steal money and property from countless innocent people. We've talked about this a few times here on The Fiends, and one of the interesting things is that it's not the person that has the money or whatever it is that's been confiscated that's being charged with the crime. It's the money or the property itself that's being charged. And
yeah, and you get lawsuits with names like the United States federal government versus $468,000.28, or the state of Wyoming versus 700 cartons of antelope meat and things like that. Seriously.
Yeah, or the state of Michigan against, I don't know, a wad of Bitcoin held together with a rubber band.
Yeah, and the unlike a person, when things are charged, and literally they charge things in these lawsuits, the thing is not has to pay its own lawyer. It doesn't get a free lawyer if it can't afford it.
Well, to take a step further, the thing has to prove its own innocence.
Yeah,
because
it's guilty until innocent.
Yeah. Normally, the burden of proof falls on the persecutor in the government. Well, the burden of proof of innocence falls on the item.
And they originally, this was like to take down the mafia, you know. So it was like, okay, Tony Soprano, you know, we can't really pin him on this and that, but we can get him on money laundering and tax evasion, and we can take his house or his house where he keeps his Russian prostitute girlfriend. That's what this was set up for, which kind of looks like it makes sense because it's like going after actual criminals who actually do actual crime against people sometimes. I mean, yeah, I mean, a lot of the mafia's crimes are victimless drug things and just drugs, really. I mean, their prostitution is probably a victim crime because they're probably forcing people into it. But anything the mafia does is accompanied by force. You know, they're keeping their monopoly of their heroin trade in Lower Manhattan with, you know, killing people. So they're actual criminals, but they're so high up the food chain, there was no way to touch them. So, you know, in the 60s, people like Giuliani, when he was a prosecutor and other federal prosecutor, came up with this idea of, well, we'll just steal their stuff. And police liked this so much, they didn't even care if they sent people to prison. They're like, we'll just take your house. And it filtered down to like the state level, and it filtered down to like, oh, we found you with one marijuana joint in your car, we're taking your car. And then to like even beyond that, to like, you're traveling, we pulled you over, we found $10,000 in cash, we're gonna take it because it might be drug money and you have to prove it's not. And you know, there are legitimate reasons citizens would travel with large amounts of cash.
Yeah, they had one instance where it was a church that was like a sister church had money, and they were going to deliver that money to the main church, and they got busted and the money was taken. And you know, most people don't try to fight this because you're going to spend more money fighting it than you are going to get whatever your money's back on,
yeah,
if it's still there.
And you know, when we say there's legitimate reasons a citizen could have large amounts of cash, I mean, that's thinking like a statist who thinks people who do drugs should be thrown in jail, which is not true. Anybody should be able to do whatever they want as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. And carrying cash, it's your property. Why isn't it your right to do so? And this is kind of the point where like police departments have moving vans to steal all your stuff. And, you know, they do a lot of it. And occasionally, you know, they'll get in trouble because, like, oh, say, like, you know, some police department in Texas does this more to Mexicans than they do to Americans. But, you know, it's all just horrible. And when people say they love their police, you should know that your police, wherever you're listening on radio, are probably doing this in your community.
Oh, it's almost guaranteed.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump back maybe about a year or so ago into the time machine, and there was an article that described how there were groups or some sort of cop association, whatever, and they would go around to these local departments and explain to them what the best things were to confiscate as far as resale goes. You know, like the sports cars were really good, but, you know, grabbing computers was, you know, they wouldn't get too much money out of that at the swap meet. I mean, the auction, sure, the computers, or whatever you are called,
less than a year old. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're telling them what the best stuff is to confiscate, and they're turning it into a shopping list. Now, even though civil asset forfeiture is still pretty new, if you go back in history, what was it? Al Capone was accused of a great many things, but they could never nail him on anything. And what did they finally get him on? Tax evasion.
Yeah.
St. Valentine's Day massacre, no problem. Don't pay your taxes. Well, hey, got to feed the beast.
Yep.
You know what? I was just thinking about this morning in the shower, and if government really wanted to stop the cartels, if they really wanted to you know, bring an end to all these illicit markets, they could end the war on drugs. They could end the various law enforcement agencies and just legalize, regulate, and tax all these businesses. And if you look at what they've done to the rest of the industries, they've virtually destroyed them. But yet, you know, the underground economy still has an unemployment rate of zero.
Yeah, like, well, I'm here in Nevada, and we have like a really radical thing that's legalized out here, and a lot of people don't know about it. You know, we have prostitution legalized here, and I think
except in cities,
except
where you want to do
counties.
It.
Yeah, in Las Vegas, it's not. But in speaking of Las Vegas, they just recently said that like they apprehended their 500th prostitute with the HIV virus. But if you go into Pahrump or any of the other counties, there hasn't been a reported case of any STD whatsoever in any of the brothels. So, you know, it's safer. It's probably a little bit more expensive, but you know, government.
And when we get back from this trip to the market, we're going to talk about how the Wyoming governor stopped this state from reforming this stealing by police.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch, now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
We're not back. We're front.
That was quick.
Lies and slanders. Whoa, what happened? Like,
I don't know. I didn't have my usual amount of time to think of something to say, but I'll do it anyway. So we're talking about asset forfeiture, which is where your government, especially your state government, but also your federal government and probably your local government, all of them, believe they have the right to steal your stuff. And there's nothing you can do about it, man. And other countries, you know, this is the kind of stuff that, like, America hides really well how unfree it is, because they don't do this to a lot of people. A lot of people who have this happen to don't complain, or, you know, don't fight it, because it's too expensive to fight for what it's worth. And this is the kind of thing that your local news will probably never cover, because your local news, you know, they make people make it sound like there's some kind of conspiracy of, like, oh, they won't cover the truth. You know, here's the thing. It's not really a conspiracy. It's just kind of a how the chain of command works, because one of the founders of this show, Nima Vedati, used to be a ABC or NBC or CBS. He actually worked for two of those agencies doing television news. And the way it works is, yeah, the way it works is you're denied access of the local government unless you make them look really good. So, like, that's why all of the stuff on local news generally, or state news, you know, state level news, it's all about how great the police are, how great the firemen are, how great the school teachers are, how much more of your tax money they need to keep you safe. And basically what they do, like the police, here's what the police do. If you do a show that's an episode that's a news episode critical of the police, next time you call the police, all they'll give the news director is, you know, like name, rank, and serial number. They will not give you access. They won't let you on. They'll let the other TV crews on, and you'll sit in the back, and you will not get news. And that's how it works. So they have to try to make them look good. So most local news or state news or federal news level news, TV news, radio news will not cover when the police rob somebody. They'll have the chief of police on talking about how great it is to be an American and how he needs more tax money and how they're going to keep you safe if you give him more money, but they won't criticize him very heavily. So you end up with this theftocracy, this kleptocracy. Yeah. where the police just can take what they want. Now, my state, well, the state in which I live, Wyoming, our governor is Matt Mead, and he's a former prosecutor, federal prosecutor. So there are a bunch of politicians in Wyoming. It's the reddest state there is. There's more Republicans running the state than any other state, and some of them are kind of like Tea Party, almost libertarian-ish. I mean, you know, they'll never legalize gay marriage. They think that's a sin, but they look at things like asset forfeiture and, like, oh, I heard that my friend's church in Colorado got his money stolen from their church. So they actually tried to pass a bill here to reform asset forfeiture and make it so you have to be convicted of a crime, of a felony, before they could take your stuff. And, you know, even so, that's like the felonies were like drug possessions, which aren't real crimes. But let's just say for a minute, you know, this would be better if they passed this than if it wasn't. The governor vetoed this, and it was like overwhelmingly passed. It was 26-3 in the House and 54-6 in the state Senate, and the governor vetoed it. And some of the state reps, like six lawmakers, changed their yes votes to no votes at the end of the roll call vote, which is something you can do here. Which is really weird. It's kind of like, oh no, the governor's gonna be mad at me, and like people can change their vote on record. Isn't that weird?
What is it, they're not gonna get invited to the mansion party, or what's?
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not weird at all.
Yeah,
no, yeah, it's not weird at all.
It's actually weird what I expect out of them.
It's not common. It's not something that happens a lot of other places. But, you know, so basically, here's the headline. Governor Matt Mead's asset forfeiture veto stands. The failed SF-14 bill would have required felony drug charge before the state could seize a person's personal property. And his comment, it was crime should not pay, especially drug crime. Asset forfeiture has a number of benefits. One of the most important, in my view, is taking the profit of illegal drugs. Now, if that's what he really believes, why didn't he pass this bill? Because if you pass this bill, you'd have to be convicted, you know? But I guess he's saying, no, man, if you got nice stuff, I want to be able to take it. So what this leads to is an unsureness, like a a regional, what's the word, regime uncertainty, where nobody wants to live in a region and like build up, you know, be a good capitalist and a good citizen or whatever, and like participate and build things up. Because some politician or cop can just take it now.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Now, Barack Obama. Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist, and his feet stink. He's Lou back.
And he puts the execute and execution branch, or executive branch.
Yeah, before we go on to something a little more fun, I have an announcement. And I do want to talk about Casper, Wyoming is stealing money to keep kids from leaving. Okay, this is like, they just announced that this state, Wyoming, has a... we went overnight from, well, we, there's no mouse in my pocket. This state went overnight from having like millions of dollars in surplus to being millions of dollars in debt when they factored in the new price of oil, because the oil price worldwide has dropped like by half. but even so, suddenly the state is in debt, but the city council voted unanimously to support the Downtown Development Authority's plan for a downtown plaza at its meeting Tuesday. And he said that as far as young people in our community, we desperately sit and say, we need young people in Casper, but they're leaving in record numbers. So we need to take a financial risk to help keep them here. They actually think, like, in the squid, you know, people want to leave here. They really do. It's not a place. Young people go, man, everyone, I mean, if they want to keep young people here, legalize weed. That's what I say. But instead, because all the surrounding states are legalizing it, like, what's going to keep your kids down on the ranch when they can go to Colorado and have a similar, you know, kind of rugged urban Western environment and buy weed, you know, like they're buying chicken. But, you know, they think that what they need to do is build a downtown plaza. Like, they really think, like, teenagers are going to want to sit out in the wind in some downtown plaza that costs millions of dollars and it's going to keep them here. They're crazy. This is how governments think. Okay. Moving on. I've been bragging
about Go ahead. Before we move on.
Yeah.
Now, this downtown plaza has to be paid for, and presumably it's going to be the young people that are going to have to pay for it as they join the workforce.
There you go.
So, in our words, they're going to try what California has done. They're going to create these new programs to keep people there, and then they're going to implement taxation, which causes people to leave, and then they're going to wonder, like, well, why don't we have any young people here? Can't they see that we tax them to get this thing to keep them here? And
yeah,
that's why tax farms like California have the pretty much the biggest growth industry. There's a moving van, New York State too.
And you know, it's, you know what the, you know, the problem is, if you want to take a minarchist attitude of it, you know,
I don't,
it is, you don't, but you know, most radio listeners probably aren't ready for anarchy. And anarchy does not mean violence, it means a lack of slave owner. So, you know, the free market taking care of this stuff. What's that, Jim?
And good music.
I don't know, man. Not the European leftist anarchists. They do something called dog cage rock, which is that kind of like metal punk where the singer sounds like a dog behind a cage, like. You know, that's dog cage rock. Yeah, I know it's not new, but that's what anarchy music is in Europe. So, I have a robot, and I've talked about this labor-saving robot that I don't have to pay $15 an hour. It vacuums my house. It's an off-brand Roomba clone called a D-Bot. It costs $200. So, you know, for like 14 hours of paying someone $15 an hour cleaning my house. Like, this thing will clean it forever. But last night on the show, my host, our host, Steve Miller, was saying he'd never have one of those in his house because he thinks that they'd become sentient. Now, here's my update. All right. It got into a place in the house that it couldn't before today. So it's learning the house. It's learning how to navigate the house. And I said yesterday, it went over to a pile of papers and tried to eat its own owner's manual and left the other papers alone. And today it was on its charger. I was asleep. My wife was asleep on the couch. And she said it woke her up. It was done charging. And it just like pulled away from the charger and started cleaning the house again, which it's not programmed to do. So I am kind of afraid of this thing. I think it's becoming sentient.
What about the cats? Are they afraid of it?
I don't have cats anymore.
Oh, what?
I don't have cats anymore. I'm terribly allergic to cats. I had to get rid of them.
Oh, man.
The Roomba ate them. If we had cats, I'd be afraid of that, too. It's probably better that the cats are adopted out. So, yeah.
Well, Michael?
Ran it around. Yeah.
If your generic Roomba starts cleaning on its own without being told, maybe it actually is worth $15 an hour.
I know. That is the kind of thing that like a really good maid would do, you know?
Yeah, it shows initiative.
It does. All right, I'm less
afraid.
It's
a self-starter.
It is. And like these kids in Wyoming who self-start and move somewhere else.
Yep. I need to get me a robot Mr. Belvedere. That's what I need.
All right. I'm done with this horrible topic, this scary topic, if you guys are.
Yeah. Well, I guess next thing you know, the little toaster is going to be a real documentary.
Google locks us out of our smart houses. Yeah. So we're no longer needed in the equation. Take it, Lou. Take it.
Or because you didn't pay your taxes. From the four-year safety file, I'm very happy that federal authorities have protected us out in Los Angeles from just a horrible, horrible threat. Apparently, there are illegal tamales. A passenger at Los Angeles International Airport learned the hard way earlier this month when he tried to bring pork tamales into the U.S. from Mexico. So you're probably figuring, okay, filled up his little lunch bag, whatever. The passenger arrived from Mexico on November 2nd, was stopped by U.S. Customs and Border Protection agriculture specialists who found 450 pork tamales wrapped up in plastic bags in the passenger's luggage. The passenger apparently denied that the tamales were made with pork, which is on the list of products that travelers may not bring into the country under customs regulations. Gee, maybe he should talk to Mark Baker and hear about how the Department of Fish and Hogs is messing with him, too. May they get together and fight the man.
I think the real lesson here is that he should have used yak, because his yaks are not regulated, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
Yak tamales.
For many families, tamales are a quintessential holiday tradition. Making a batch takes days of planning and exhaustive preparation, all for a tasty bite of corn mesa or masa, red chili, stuff I can't pronounce. But anyway, they went and they confiscated all this stuff. Yeah, I could just imagine the photo op. They probably, you know, put all these wrapped tamales on a table. Maybe they grabbed some guns and stacks of money from a previous drug bust to set that next to it. And then they have a couple of goons with that big Schumer eating grin on their faces. You know, we kept you safe from these unregulated snacks.
Well, if it was yak tamales, you'd have to pay to prove it, too. Because they would just take it and say, no, these are pork. And then they'd store it for like 6 days without refrigeration until it's turned. Unless you want to, pay for DNA testing in a government lab to prove that it's not pork.
So here we see an example of culinary asset forfeiture. Thanks, government. Thanks for keeping us safe.
Yeah, I love Mexican food. This is a travesty for me. This is terrible news. I'm going to lose sleep over this.
Yeah, my stomach's going to be growling all night.
Yeah.
The argument for it is that it's for your safety, because they say that, you know, these foreign animals can have, you know, all these diseases. Because, immigrant animals are just disease spreaders. You know, they're horrible and everything else. You know, but
They're also rapists and criminals. I assume some are good animals, but...
Right. Yeah, and I wonder if ISIS is hiding amongst the pigs. ISIS pork tamales. But and here's the thing. Okay, so it becomes dangerous when you bring these products back into the USSA, but how dangerous is it when you're, like, over there? If it's for your safety, shouldn't, like... people be banned from going to Mexico and buying food, or shouldn't they at least have a USSA government minder with them to, you know, make sure and say, no, here, you know, don't eat that. Here, we brought you something from America. Have this Hot Pocket.
Yeah, I could just see someone just standing around slapping Autobata tacos out of people's hands. Like, no, that's pork. You can only have the carne asada. Sorry.
I do like carne asada.
Yeah. I'm an Autobata type of person. I love pork. But
so once again at the airports, no terrorists caught.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, TSA. Yeah, did they put it on TSA? Instagram too, or
no? It's I don't know if it's on Instagram. Well, maybe the confiscating cops were like doing muscle flex shots behind the table of tamales, guns, and money.
Yeah, I wonder
send tamales, guns, and money.
Yeah.
Yeah, Warren Zevon should have wrote a song about this. Tamales, guns, and money.
Yeah, just wait. It's going to be the next Michael Dean movie. But
Guns and Tamales, the Road to Freedom.
And it comes from Tijuana to San Diego. Be careful. There's a border stop just right outside of San Diego County.
From meowing out loud.
Yeah.
So what else is going on? What other great things has our government done for us today?
Well, I guess our future government, there's an article in the New Yorker, I believe it's satire, but this is a great article from the New Yorker. It says, Carson announces detailed plan to Google Syria. In a major foreign policy announcement Wednesday, Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson unveiled a detailed plan to Google Syria. Speaking in Iowa, the retired neurosurgeon told an audience of supporters, any responsible policy on Syria must begin with a fact-finding mission, such as a mission to begin with Googling. apparently, he's trying to find out if they store grain in their pyramids. He said that Google holds the key to many questions about Syria. Where is it at? Who lives there? How many square miles is it? These are all things that have to be pinned down, he said. Carson, who leads several Republican presidential polls, said that while his search for answers would start with Google, he would not rule out seeking information from Wikipedia and beyond. No website should be taken off the table, he said, at this time. He said. In closing, he said that he has no plans to Google Egypt since he was already extremely well versed in that nation's history.
God. Ben Carson shattering the image that brain surgeons are really smart.
They're only smart about brain surgery.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
In Survivor Max 2, School Bites, Maximus scavenged through a wasteland swarming with the undead. Desperate to find the medicine he needs, he discovers a community of survivors at his former school. Has he finally found the safe haven he's been looking for, or will he discover that school bites? Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, and read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Freedom Fiend.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So we have another story of government stealing from you. It's pretty much been the whole first hour. I hope you guys can get jiggy with it and get fun in the second hour, because Freedom Fiends is usually more fun than this. But we have to report that there are thieves loose in your neighborhood and they are robbing you, and it's your government, federal, state, and local, and county, even. There's that one sandwiched in there people forget about. And
my government. It's all the other governments. Mine is okay. Mine's fine.
Yours is, means mine is me and my wife and our robot. And Jim's is Jim and his cat. So it's all governments do anymore. And, it used to be the governments looked like they stole a bunch of money and stole a bunch of your rights, but provided some services. They could say, well, without us, how would you know who is the registrar of deeds? And then and how would you regulate the taxis? And here's the thing is technology has replaced all that. Like blockchain technology could do the registration of the deeds, and the taxis pretty much have been replaced with apps on your smartphone like Uber and Lyft.
Can it do propaganda of the deed?
That's a really obscure reference there. That means leftist anarchist violence to inspire other violence. And I don't know anybody who knows that concept other than you. I find you suspect now, Jim, because you know things. All right. Not really.
So, I get annoyed by ANCOMs quite a bit. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I interrupted.
So Uber, if people don't know what Uber is this this app for your smartphone. And if you don't know what a smartphone is, it's one of those phones that does not flip up, and young people have it, and they talk with their thumbs. They press letters and send telegrams to each other on their computers. And it's like a little computer. So people have their smartphone, and they have these things called apps, which are applications. They're little programs. And Uber is this multi-billion-dollar company, which has figured out that instead of having to have people pay $1 million for a taxi license in New York City and giving a limited number of them and having a monopoly where, old, crusty, guys who belong to unions get to dictate to politicians what happens, it's kind of a totally free market. And it's really good for the economy. No matter what anyone says, it's really good for the economy. And even taxi drivers are using it to get rides when their company doesn't have rides available because Uber is taking the rides. And a lot of people have this mentality of well, we need the government to protect. I mean, my father has been a taxi driver and his father. And it's really, just because you did something for a long time doesn't mean you're guaranteed the right to do it forever. For instance, the music industry, just because they had 100 years of being able to control the reproduction of music doesn't mean they do anymore. And even, now that there's torrents, file sharing and encrypted VPNs, and you can get any media, any music or movie you want, free without the ads, quicker than you can through pay services. And there's nothing any government can do that. I mean, they can occasionally arrest some 11-year-old, learning disabled girl and fine her mother $10,000. But, it's if they only get 1% of 1% of 1% of 1% of 1% of the people doing a non-crime like that, it doesn't matter. And they're trying to just rape Uber. So here's the headline. Pennsylvania judge proposes record $50 million fine against Uber. So, and this has to be coming from the taxi companies are sending their people to pressure. Well, we got you into office. So
look, Michael, my grandfather made buggy whips for 50 years, and I'll be darned if I'm going to let some automobile come along and take away his job.
I mean, this is as if, as if politicians had that attitude, and some of them did. Some of them tried to regulate cars out of existence when they first happened. But, the buggy whip manufacturers, you can still buy buggy whips on Amazon because people use them in the bedroom. But but here's the bottom line. There's no harm has occurred. It was believed a broker's license held by a subsidiary of Uber was adequate because the commission's investigation and enforcement arm did not prove any harm occurred. So even though the government itself said there's no victim here, there's a judge trying to fine him for $50 million, which, it will not put about a business. It's just the government stealing someone else's labor. That's all the government does.
And they're accusing Uber of being unreasonable in their unwillingness to compromise with them.
Yeah, right. All right, we'll be back for hour two. Freedom Fiends coming up. I'm going to opt out for the evening and let these two gentlemen lighten the load and have some fun. Now that we've scared the heck out of you, we'll come back and give you some redemption in the third act and the second hour.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless free market non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the opposite Turi region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. You can learn this allows use by that. I messed up the part that I already knew. This allows for use by anyone except governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. How's it going, Lou?
Oh, it's going just great. And I want to get back to this whole Uber article. For those of you that are just joining in or only catching the second hour on your local stations, Uber has been fined, or let me rephrase. The title of the article is Pennsylvania Judges Propose Record $50 Million Fine Against Uber. And I think the very first paragraph of the article says it all. Judges for the Pennsylvania agency that regulates business buses and taxis recommended on Tuesday a record $50 million fine against ride-sharing company Uber for operating in the state. Now, here's the important part. Operating in the state without approval. Without approval. And this goes to the greater, or the bigger picture, rather, of what is the economy? I view the economy as the interactions of people. I view the economy as exchanges of goods, services, and paying for those things with value. You know, usually money, but, well, actually not money. It's just Federal Reserve notes and other government-sanctioned tokens and slips of paper, script.
And a Bitcoin here and there.
Yeah. So the big thing is you have to have approval to provide goods and services to your neighbors. You have to have approval to do the thing that government always claims that it's there to try and help, is to build the economy, because governments always say, yeah, we have to fix the economy. We have to fix the economy. Well, yeah, the economy is fixed, but not in the terms of repairing or maintaining. It's fixed as in it's rigged, because if you don't have approval to go out there and provide goods and services, you can't be part of the economy. And the economy is actually the lifeblood of humanity, but unfortunately for the statocrats, they see it as a life support system to keep their oligarchic mafia operation going.
Yeah, they need a new ping pong table in the rec room, so they're gonna charge you for your ping pong table in the rec room.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, but the Department of Buses and Taxis and Buggy Whips would, you know, how would they fund their operation if not for these different fines? Yeah. How would they justify their existence if they didn't get in there and interfere with commerce?
I'm a seventh generation ICE delivery man. How dare they? How dare they start selling these free market refrigerators everywhere? They're putting me out of business.
Now, how familiar with Uber are you?
slightly familiar. I had a friend who used to do Lyft, which is like their competitor. They do the same service. So I'm familiar with that. I imagine this is just the same thing, just maybe with a little difference here and there, but pretty much the same thing, right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, for those of you that aren't real familiar with it, because I actually saw a post on FaceBeast a little while ago. You know, people.
I don't know what that is.
People were talking about Uber. It's like, you know, who's used it? What is it? Blah blah blah. And, you know, because there are, like, in my area, you don't have Uber, Lyft, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You barely even have a taxi company up here. But I mean, that's Bear Saskatchewan. Uber, plain and simply, is ride sharing. And what it is the ride sharing is people have vehicles and they will provide rides to people. So it's not exactly like a taxi service where somebody goes and they pay $1 million for their medallion in New York City and, you know, then they have permission. They have approval to go out and provide these services and everything else. But anyway, Uber itself is a app for the smartphone, and like Michael was saying, that, you know, that's the smartphone doesn't have the flip that goes up. And incidentally, if you want to keep teenagers quiet, if you don't want them to say a single word, just give them a smartphone, and you'll never hear anything out of them.
You'll see them roll their eyes all the time every time you say something to them, but yeah, they won't talk. Yeah.
So the actual app itself, what it does is it connects drivers with people who need a ride. And that's all it is. It's connecting two parties.
But if we didn't have regulation of these things, like, anybody could just drive anybody around. That'd be anarchy. Think of all the bad things that will happen. Like, the driver would speak English. Like, that'd be terrible. That'd be awful.
Yeah, and it would be, I don't know, like asking your neighbor for a ride. Oh my gosh! Yeah. Oh, the horror! And then giving them gas money. So anyway, the application itself puts these two parties together, and what's really nice about it is it has a rating system for the drivers, and it may even have a rating system for passengers also.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah, so with the rating system for drivers, if I am the passenger and I have a bad experience with the driver, I can give them a bad rating, in which case next time I need a ride and I punch in my stuff on the application, it's not going to show that driver. It's not that driver's not going to be an option. You know, kind of like when you go to the DMV and you have that one person that's, well, not that one person, most of them, they're really slow and maybe they have that horribly indifferent attitude and everything else.
Or they burn Nag Champa in their taxi. You can just, yeah, no, I'm going to pass on this one.
Yeah, but when you're at the DMV and you can't say, you know what, I don't want that one. I want that one over there. Well, and you can, but you're just going to have to wait until that next person becomes available, which could be however long it takes. But the thing is, it filters that stuff out. And if there's also a rating system for passengers, like let's say I'm the passenger and I'm a real jerk and I'm just really being nasty to the driver, they can say, you know what, I don't want to work with this person anymore. Yeah. And it's also quite possible that the other drivers might see that rating and they might not want to do business with them. So it's kind of an incentive to be polite.
Or not wear patchouli oil.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Not in my Uber.
Yeah. There would probably be a special button for that. But what you're looking at, when you use Uber or Lyft, and a driver says, "Okay, yes, I will take this drive here," you find out who it is. You get a picture of the driver, the vehicle, and the license plate number, so you know who it is. I mean, you know this, not some stranger just pulling over and saying, "Hey, need a Lyft?"
Yep.
And the drivers are vetted by the company. And they do go through background checks, and they do have insurance, contrary to all the nonsense that you hear out of the statocrats. And incidentally, Bernie Sanders has really railed against Uber, but the story just came out that shows that he uses Uber for all of his rides.
Yep. And he's also a terrible tipper. They also had a report, too, that said he was like a terrible tipper at a restaurant.
Well, he redistributed the tip to everybody else.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. What you have to look at is, why did Uber come about? the whole
because the taxis whole thing, suck.
Yes, yes. Because taxis, due to all the regulation, have basically formed a monopoly, and the with monopolies, the service is bad, the prices are mm-hmm. high, and the market itself, the interaction of humans, so the creativity has created an alternative to the same old garbage. So it's just like when it's just like with threat management. Detroit police ain't worth a hoot. So you have a market demand for security and protection, and a group like threat management pops up, and they start filling that demand. They start providing the supply for it. Now, when you look at most of what government does, there is no demand for it, so you don't have private companies coming out and, you know, offering those services. Because if private companies offer those services, people would have to actually choose to pay for them on their own.
Mm-hmm. And why would you pay twice for the same service from two different firms? You're forced to pay for the government, quote-unquote, service, and then now you want a better service, so you have to pay more money on top of that. That's just terrible. So, of course, a lot of those companies are not going to do very well. That's why also why charities also don't do very well. It's just like, why should I give money to you, who's going to give people the food to the poor people, when you're already taking half of my wage out of taxes anyway, just to do it. So, you know.
Actually, that is quite an honest assessment. It is very accurate. I remember I was probably about, I don't know, early to mid-20s, something like that. I saw a guy, he had a little sign that said homeless veteran and all this other stuff. I said, well, why don't you just go down to the VA? You know, doesn't the VA provide services for you in that regard?
No, the better question is, do the VA actually provide service? Period.
Yeah. Well, I had no idea at the time if they did or not. And I could tell you that they do because I had to use a number of years ago. You know, so, but and the thing is, my attitude was, well, there's a government program for that. Mm-hmm. You know, so why should I help you?
Exactly.
And, now, you know. I will say this, being up in a small town area, there are food banks up here, you know, little local food banks. Each town, you know, like the city that I live in, there's I believe 2,300 residents, and it's pretty well spread out. It's a sprawling rural community, but yeah, there's a food bank here. There's, you know, different charitable resale shops where they sell stuff dirt cheap, and you know, and these things happen, but for the most part, people aren't going to make big, giant, you know, humongous donations for helping the poor because, one, they are taxed already and they assume that these services do exist. Mm-hmm. But being that this is a smaller, tighter-knit community, people realize that these services that are provided by government to help the poor don't really help that much.
Yeah.
And in most cases, perpetuate the poverty.
Yeah, like take for example like Social Security, how they help people who are disabled and stuff like that, but they don't do a very good job. So you have to have places like Opportunity Village, which is a charity, which is a good charity, and they teach people how to, or with disabilities, mental disabilities, how to get back into the workforce and start working again. But they aren't really funded outside of some like Las Vegas because it's really well known here. But outside of that, like there's no real funding for it, so it just kind of, you know, flounders for the most part because they just assume, oh, Social Security takes care of that. Why do we need Opportunity Village? Because government is terrible. That's why.
Yeah. Hey, what do you call somebody that's retired and lives on just Social Security?
I don't know.
Poor.
Oh.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
You have to wear the French flag on your Facebook picture.
don't. But everybody does.
And this guy doesn't want to wear a flag.
Freedom beans.
So, I don't know. Are you really interested in, like, weird, bizarre foods that make most people cringe? Are you one of those people, or are you one of those people that just eats, like, a small list of things that are, like, conventional foods?
I will go outside of the standard conventions. There are some things, you know, like the Rocky Mountain oysters that I have absolutely no desire to try, things like that. So, yeah, I don't stick strictly within conventions, but I don't stray too far across the borders. This is one of the things I do think that we need some sort of border control on.
Oh, haggis. No, I've been dying to try haggis, but apparently I did not know this. Apparently, because we haven't had real haggis before, because there has been a 44-year-old ban on the Scottish delicacy made of sheep's lung, heart, and liver, and it's going to be coming to an end, perhaps, maybe. It's a Scottish delicacy made of, well, like I said, that's been enjoyed as a national dish for hundreds of years, but it has been banned in the U.S. for at least 44 years because of one of the key ingredients, sheep's lung. It's prohibited. It could soon find a spot on shelves in U.S. supermarket. I don't think that's true. I think maybe some will have it and most won't. Thanks to a Scottish delegation's campaign to have the ban overturned with a compromise to leave the lung out of the recipe. I'll try.
Isn't that where the extra flavor comes from?
Of course, that's where all the good. Organ meat is probably like some of the best stuff for you. You know, everybody's squeamish to eat it, but I like it occasionally. But I have not tried haggis, but I've been dying to try it, and apparently I haven't been able to. I did not know this.
Yeah, I don't know how quickly I'm going to jump on that bandwagon. I don't even care if Uber is driving that bandwagon. I don't know if I'm going to jump on it. So there are just some things that creep me out a little bit. Now, I've talked about this before on the show. I was up at Mark Baker's place a couple of years ago. As a matter of fact, we did an interview with him from the farm at one of his events. And when they were butchering up the pig, a woman went and grabbed the heart and liver and some other organs and ran off with them and like, I don't know, did some sort of casting a spell on it and then fried it up with onions and a couple other things. And it was really good. I don't know if there were lungs in there.
Well, maybe we should have called the cops on them just to make sure that there was no illegal lungs. Well, I guess this is only sheep's lung. So was it a sheep? It was a pig.
No, it was a pig.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
It's fine. Pig lung is okay. Sheep lung, I think that's illegal.
Sometimes you have to draw a line on these things.
Yeah. Haggis sales alone are worth £15 million. That's $22 million in the UK alone. I don't think we're going to scratch that in the US. Not going to happen.
Now, is that dollar or is that monetary amount based upon inflation and also the VAT being included?
That's a good question. I don't think. Well, I don't. This is from a UK article, so I think their socialism sneaking in. So it's probably yes. It's probably included.
Yeah, they're not really sneaking in. Yeah. So, all right. Now that you've creeped me out a little bit, are you ready to move on?
Yeah, but I do want to try haggis. Go ahead.
Okay. There's another intervention into the economy and regime change that needs to be brought to light. And this is from an expose in The Onion. And the headline is, CIA admits role in 1985 coup to oust David Lee Roth. Langley, Virginia. Shedding new light on a tumultuous period of upheaval that dominated international headlines nearly 30 years ago, U.S. government declassified hundreds of documents Tuesday that confirmed the CIA covertly organized and executed the coup that ousted lead singer David Lee Roth from Van Halen. According to a preliminary analysis, the newly released information includes more than 1,600 pages of formerly top-secret material detailing the CIA's clandestine plot to infiltrate the platinum-selling rock group and and unseat the magnetic, impulsive musician from his leadership position in the spring of 1985. The documents revealed that the agency worked behind the scenes for years, beginning after the release of the disco-inflected Push Comes to Shove single in 1981 to foment the internal turmoil and unrest needed to destabilize the band and ultimately force Roth to step down from the American Heavy Metal Act. So essentially what they did was they propped up Sammy Hagar, but just like all other interventions of regime change, they wound up with the lead singer of Extreme after that.
Yeah. So David Lee Roth did that terrible talk show.
Yeah. So these things never work out as people hope.
No.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
My fellow sheep. Election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Now, should there be a trigger warning for what you're about to speak about next, Jim?
What am I speaking about next? Haggis? I think we already talked about that.
No, that needed a trigger warning. Ugh. All right.
Sign me up.
So, I think you were going to talk about Dr. Ben Carson. Is that correct?
I think we already did talk about Ben Carson.
Oh, I thought you wanted to make some more jokes about him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know why he's not really leading in the polls. I think Trump's still leading in the polls, right? Even though he's been saying, like, weird things, like he thinks the pyramids are grain silos. You know, and he seems to be clueless about a lot of things, and he is also very, very soft-spoken, and he doesn't seem very sure about what he's talking about half the time anyway. So, I mean, what is with this guy? Like, I don't mean to get all Seinfeld, but what is with Ben Carson?
Well, he's just a filthy authoritarian.
Yeah.
In other words, I mean, he's just a statist. He kind of backtracked a little bit on his comments about Muslims shouldn't be allowed to hold office. And what's really interesting about that is he was on Hannity maybe a few days, a week later, something like that. And he said that it doesn't matter what religion you are, Christian, Muslim, whatever, you should subjugate your religious views to the Constitution of the United States as if it's a higher power. So, what's that commandment about, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me? So, yeah. If you are subjugating your religious views to a different religion, meaning statism, is he campaigning on the good, devout Christian?
Probably not.
Thing? No. And interestingly enough, he says, you know, that people should subjugate their religious views to the Constitution. What's that say in the First Amendment about Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of religion? And I think there's another section in there that says
the free exercise thereof. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's something else in there that says that there should be no religious purity test, something along those lines.
I don't think so. In other words, the Bill of Rights, but yeah,
no, that's in Articles 1-7. You know, the part that nobody read.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. So he is simultaneously saying that people should subjugate their views to, or that the Constitution should be the law of the land, and he's also saying Feinstein the Constitution because this is what I believe.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. Just
I think the First Amendment is great, but I think it needs to be edited to just Congress shall make no law. Period.
Oh, that, yeah.
I think that'd be a lot better.
Yeah, you could do away with the rest of the document.
Congress shall pass no law. The end. Go home.
Yeah, but I mean, quite frankly, if it wasn't for Articles 1 through 7, Amendments 1 through 10 would be completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, I'm ready to move on to something else now that we've gotten all we've gotten serious and talked about Carson. Let's see. You know what? You talk for me because I have to plug this thing in before I have to plug my computer in before it dies. So go ahead and talk for a minute. Just ramble about something.
So, I guess The Onion has written an article which is prophetic. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But this is like in 2003 where they're talking about whether or not the war in all these Middle Eastern countries would be bad or a good thing, right? And I think it did a pretty good job explaining what would happen. And this was, 2003, right?
Yeah, March 26th of 2003. And what the type of article is called point and counterpoint. So in that somebody gives their thesis and then somebody else gives their counterthesis to it. Mm-hmm. And the title of this article is, "This War Will Destabilize the Entire Mideast Region and Set Off a Global Shockwave of Anti-Americanism versus, no, it won't." Now, keep in mind, this is from March 26, 2003. Do you have the article up? And
no, you didn't give it
okay.
to me.
Okay. George W. Bush may think that this is the point here. George W. Bush may think that that a war against Iraq is a solution to our problems, but the reality is it will only serve to create far more. This war will not put an end to anti-Americanism. It will fan the flames of hatred even higher. It will not end the threat of weapons of mass destruction. It will make possible their further proliferation, and it will lay the groundwork for the flourishing of democracy, or it will not lay the groundwork for the flourishing of democracy throughout the Mideast. It will harden the resolve of Arab states to drive out all Western, i.e., U.S. influence. And here's the important part. If you thought Osama bin Laden was bad, just wait until the countless children who become orphaned by U.S. bombs in the coming weeks are all grown up. Do you think they will forget what country dropped the bombs that killed their parents? In 10 or 15 years, we will look back fondly on the days when there were only a few thousand Middle Easterners dedicated to destroying the U.S. and willing to die for the fundamentalist cause. From this war, a million bin Ladens will bloom."
Yep.
And it goes on and it talks about a few other things. And
I got the article section, up now. Yeah. No, okay. It won't. It just won't. None of that will happen. You're just getting worked up over nothing. Everything's going to be fine. Just relax, okay? You're really overreacting. This war will not put an end to anti-Americanism. It'll fan the flames even higher. No, it won't. Not really. Sorry, no, I disagree. You're wrong.
"A war against Iraq is not only morally wrong, it will be an unmitigated disaster."
No, it won't. You're completely wrong.
Sorry, no. I disagree.
Yeah, and it's kind of true, because that's what ISIS is. This is exactly what they were predicting. And this is what they were saying back then. "Look, you've been proven wrong, so stop talking. You've had your say already. Be quiet, okay? Everything's fine. You're wrong."
Yeah, so... But it's really interesting that The Onion nailed this when so many of the mainstream non-satirical news sources,
quote unquote,
this is radio, so you can't see the look of sarcasm on my face. But trust me, I'm it's just dripping with sarcasm. They actually got it right.
They got it. Yeah, they hit. Well, yeah, a lot of people were saying this stuff, but everybody was like, "No, that's crazy talk. You don't know what you're saying." And it's true.
They will be greeted as liberators. And you know what? At first they were in many cases. I grant a lot of it was propagandized, where they'd have paid crowds to go out there and cheer and all this other stuff. But you didn't have the overwhelming hatred. It's when the U.S. forces became the unwelcome house guests that would not leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's when things really got bad. Because I'm sure there are probably quite a few people that were like, oh, yeah, great, Sodom's gone. I don't have to worry about, you know, people kicking in my door and snatching me up and dragging me and my family out and taking me to Abu Ghraib. And unfortunately, Saddam and his people were just simply replaced by foreigners doing it. Yep. And by foreigners, I mean Americans and other coalition forces.
Yep. And that's what gave rise to ISIS. So everybody's wondering, like, oh, you know, ISIS is terrible, and what can we do to stop it? It's like, well, you know, we kind of warned you, but you were too busy with your flag waving and and nationalism to really think about what you were doing. And I mean, what caused 9/11 to begin with? If you actually read the Bin Laden fatwa, you know, some of it talks about religious stuff, but for the most part, a lot of it was talking about the U.S. foreign policy and how it, and they use that as propaganda to recruit more people into their cause to hurt more Westerners. And you know, the thing in Paris is no different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people like to point to the idea that radical Islam has existed since the beginning of Islam, you know, 1400 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. Quite honestly, I really don't think somebody whose family members were killed by American bombs or American troops is going to really think back to, I don't know, the Crusades or something like that. No, I think they're going to be pretty pissed off about what's currently happening.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the tax farm of Michigan, so if somebody from Ohio kicks in my door and steals my pets or something like that, I'm not going to think back to that war between Michigan and Ohio 100 or so years ago. No, I'm going to be pissed off about them kicking in my door.
Yeah,
but that's just me. I don't know. Maybe I think a little bit more reality based than everybody else. I don't know.
Yep. And I mean, by the way, we also got to remember that a lot, I think most of the terrorist attacks that have happened in the U.S., if I'm not mistaken, most of them haven't been by Islam. It's been like homegrown terrorism for the most part. I mean, you had 9/11 and the Boston bombings. Yeah. But think about what happened before that. The Oklahoma City bombing. That was by, you know, a good old boy in the South, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's take it a step further. If you look at the attacks, or most, I should say, the foiled attacks, mm-hmm. That were committed by radical Islam, it was the dumbest kid in the mosque was solicited by the FBI or some other government agency and provoked into doing it. Mm-hmm. So, realistically, I don't think that you could say that it was inspired by radical Islam. It was inspired by radical statism, which is the most violent religion out there. Yeah. So if the terrorist attacks are being funded and supplied by the U.S. government, I don't really think radical Islam is the real thing, especially when you go get the I hate to phrase it this way, but going and getting retarded kids, getting the dumbest kids in the mosque. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what they're doing. But let's take a look at what's going on with ISIS and all this other stuff. There's a video of Wesley Clark, and a lot of the conspiracy folks have really jumped on and said, oh, yeah, this is the New World Order. I guess the Pentagon had a plan that they were going to go in and destabilize and implement regime change throughout the Middle East. And they were talking about all the different countries that they were going to go to. And I think it was supposed to be 5 countries in 7 years or 7 countries in 5 years. I can't remember what exactly it was. But if you look at not too long ago, Libya had their issues there, and the U.S. was very involved in the overthrow of Gaddafi, who, you know, well, he's not a good guy. One, he's a statocrat, so that makes him bad right there. Yeah.
And his feet stink.
Yeah. he probably tells some lies, too. And historically, he has been a very bad guy. You know, if you look at the Pan Am Flight 103 and, mm-hmm. and there are things, other terrorist acts that he did sponsor, which were real terrorist attacks. But if you look at what had been going on in recent times, you know, he had kind of left that behind and was using more of the economic means of doing things than, you know, the political means, you know, meaning the terrorism stuff. So he had basically changed his tune and wasn't such a bad actor, aside from being a statist.
Yeah. Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
So some good news from the economy. I don't know if you've read this article, but it's a really good article. And usually we don't like to talk about economics on this show, but this is a really good article. But this is a really good economic article, and it's important to read. From Washington, describing the precautions as a financially prudent decision for all households, a panel of the nation's top economists recommended Wednesday that Americans set aside money from each paycheck so they'll be ready in the event of a Dire Straits reunion tour. We suggest placing a small percentage of your earnings into a separate account to ensure that you have adequate savings should Dire Straits unexpectedly announce a string of North American concert dates to promote their new greatest hits double album, said Princeton's University economist professor Julia Bridges, adding that any moment at an unforeseen reconciliation between singer guitarist Mark blah, 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 and bassist John whatever. Why do they have hard to pronounce names in these weird punk rock bands? Or that's not a punk rock band. could participate a reunion, precipitate a reunion that would leave millions of millions scrambling for the cost for pre-sale tickets. Now, this seems like a very good idea, don't you think?
As a matter of fact, I think there should be something similar to the health savings account where you can contribute pre-tax contributions that you can use to purchase your concert tickets of former washed-up bands that have like come back and that way you have the money available. Mm-hmm. Get those concert tickets. As a matter of fact, there should be a special tax deduction for purchasing swag and merch.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
probably even a provision for renting a party bus.
Yeah, and as long as there's a good deductible, probably getting a beer while you're inside of the concert hall, too.
Oh, yeah, but, definitely.
But maybe not Dire Straits for me. Maybe if Bomb reunited, then maybe I could Take some of my out of my concert fund to go see the Bomb reunion,
or maybe Lynyrd Skynyrd, but only if you have all the original members.
That's going to be a tough one. While this year saw the 30th anniversary of Brothers in Arms pass uneventfully, that still doesn't rule out the possibility of the band's first tour since 1992 suddenly hitting arenas and major cities across the United States. Sadly, many Americans would struggle to afford decent seats if Dire Straits played a show in their town today, let alone purchase basic merchandise such as commemorative reunion hats and t-shirts. This would leave them at a risk of missing a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to experience a classic Sultans of Swing guitar solo up close and in person. Bridges advised that for the very least, Americans should keep a small pool of emergency reserve on hand should Cheap Trick or REO Speedwagon come to their local fairgrounds.
You know, I really cannot stress the importance of this enough, because it's just that important.
Yeah.
And when you have important stuff like this, you have to do important stuff to be able to, you know, do it.
Yeah. So the big question is if
I sound like Miss North Carolina.
So the big question is if both Bomb and Dead Kennedys with Jello Biafra reunited, and they were both doing separate shows, and you only had to pull reserves for only one band, what would you recommend? Or whatever two bands that you would find conflict in having to choose between the two. Or REO Speedwagon and Dire Straits coming back to town on the same day. And you can only afford to go to one, or have time to go to one.
Now, see, the beautiful thing about a proper government program with a concert savings account, you would be able to draw in advance. You'd be able to borrow against next year's contributions.
Yeah.
At least that's a provision that I would put in there. But of course, you have to put a limit on there because, you know, a lot of these bands might decide that they want to get together. But you know what? There could be a special provision for like the mega show where maybe they're not getting like an arena or a large outdoor venue, but, you know, like a really large nightclub. And maybe they all perform together and they have like a day-long festival.
Yeah. But I think if Paul Krugman had his druthers, he'd bring back Nirvana because they would smash all of their guitars and instruments and stimulate the economy.
You know, that guy from Foo Fighters looks just like the old drummer for Nirvana.
Yeah, I think that's weird.
Yeah. Must be a doppelganger. Thanks for coming on tonight, Jim. It was a pleasure chatting with you. And for all our listeners out there, thanks for listening. And for more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com. But you're going to have to wait till 8 a.m. tomorrow. They're blowing the hamster hair out of the servers.
Freedomfiends.com. It's awesome when it works.